because I've made up my mind. And title number two is Choose You This Day Whom You Will Serve. So with that in mind, I'm sure you've already figured out, take your Bible and go to the book of Joshua, chapter number 24. Joshua chapter number 24. While you're turning, let me say, while it's on my mind, I meant to add it to the prayer list. And Tommy, if you'll add this, pray for Kelly White. She has had hand surgery, and then it didn't go right, and they had to go back in there and cut on her, do extensive surgery, and she's having a terrible, terrible time with her hand. And so if you would pray for them, I know they would appreciate it greatly. Joshua chapter number 24 in your Bibles, and this, there's no possible way we'll get done with this tonight, and I don't intend to, didn't plan to. I just want to get started because I want this message to be heard Sunday as well. I want and I believe that God has a word for us. As I mentioned earlier, coming out of revival, the devil is on the prowl. He's doing his dead level best. And if he hadn't visited you or your house, trust me, he has mine. And he has made himself known, and he's doing all that he can to try to disrupt us and get us sidetracked. And because he don't like it when God moves. He don't like it when souls are being saved. He don't like it, and he knows that we just got that baptistry fixed, and we've been praying that God would put people in it that got saved and born again, and that's going to be happening soon, maybe even Sunday soon. And we've got several to baptize, and the devil hates that. He hates losing souls that he had all plans and intentions of taking to hell. And so having come out of revival effort, it's on my heart personally and for my family and for you and your family and for our church that we don't just slumber back into the same place that we was, but that we hold that ground that was gained and move forward from there and go higher and go deeper with God. Ain't that what we should desire? I hope that's your desire, is that we go deeper with God and get closer to God and to reach our community in a greater way for the glory of God. So with that said, our flesh hates that. This world detests that thought. And I promise you, the devil hates that and is going to do what he can to stop that. So knowing that those three enemies, one of them being in us, one of them being all around us, being the world, and one of them being the devil, the greatest power God ever created, then we must make up our mind that we're not just going to slither back down and be lulled back down to where we was, but intentionally, on purpose, we're going to choose. We're going to make a choice, and we're going to make up our mind that we're not going back, but rather we're going forward for the glory of God. And so, if you will, I'm going to read one verse because we're going to be preaching through this entire chapter, but I want to read verse 15 and start there. Joshua 24, verse number 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let me say before I move any further, that can be your testimony. That should be your desire. I've stated that's my desire. As for me and my house, that we're going to serve the Lord. I desire that. I hadn't always fulfilled that. I hadn't always followed through with that. But my desire is that me as the father and the head of my home, the husband, that I set a standard and set a path that they can follow me and that we would follow the Lord. That's my desire. Amen. However, my desires have not always come to fruition. There has to be more than desire to get what he's saying. To do more than just saying, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Desire is great, but they must be right on the heels of desire. There must be determination that you're going to do it, because desire won't get you there. Desire will fade over time. It won't take long. Our bodies will weary. Our minds will weary, and we'll get wore down. And just as fervent as that desire to stand and say, as for me and my house, we're going to follow the Lord. I'm making a choice because of my desire that we're going to follow the Lord. Circumstances in life and things in life and issues in life, before we know it, will snatch that desire and take it away and steal it away from us. And so right on the backside of desire has to be determination that we're going to do more than just desire it, but we're going to do it. He didn't say, I desire me and my family. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Why will they? Because of the previous thing that he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. In other words, listen, he made a choice. He made up his mind that I've come too far to turn back now. God's been too good to me. God's been too good to us. God's delivered us out of Egypt. God parted the Red Sea. God has delivered us through every trial. God has been with us every mile. And so he's been too good to us. And we've come too far to turn back now. And if he's been that good in the past and he's that good to us now, he's going to be that good to us tomorrow. And because of that, as for me and my house, we've made up our mind. We've made a deliberate choice. We're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. So by way of introduction, let me say these were exciting times for the people of God, Israel, the chosen, the children of Israel. They had defeated their enemies, and they had claimed the promised land. Each of the tribes had received their inheritance, and now they could settle down. All the fighting had been done. The Amorites had been put down. All the Canaanites were put down. All that the wilderness days were over, and here they are in the promised land. Here they are in Canaan. I mean, that place of promise and plenty. They're there. And so if there ever been a time that they could kick their shoes off and set their swords down and just lean back and relax and say, thank God we made it, it was then. But God sent a strong message through the man of God. And he said, look, we have made it by the grace of God. We've made it to the promised land. But be careful. Be very careful, because listen, just because we're here don't mean the enemy's going to stop coming. Just because we've made it this far don't guarantee us we're going to make it onward. So as the children of Israel are here and their hope is a time of prosperity and blessing, it was also a very dangerous time for them. Why? Because they were a danger that they would forget where they came from. It was so good and so grand where they was. It would have been easy for them. And that's what God is sending them the message. Don't forget where I brought you from. Don't forget all the mountains that stood in your way. Don't forget the oceans that stood between you and your promise. Don't forget all the enemies. Don't forget all the giants that I've slain. God's saying, don't forget what it took to get this far. Because it'd be real easy and very dangerous for them to forget all that God had done and slip right back in to where they had been. There was a danger that they would begin to adopt the idolatrous religion of the Canaanites who still lived around them. Though they were in the promised land, the enemy was still there with their gods. And we are to be in the world, but not of the world. As Christians, listen, we may be living in Canaan land. We may be living, the Spirit-filled life and living in the land of plenty and promise. However, there's still the little G-O-Ds, the idols, and all those who worship them all around us, even in the land of promise. And that's a dangerous place to be, to think we've arrived and lose sight of the fact that all this is still around us. There was a danger that they would fall into the state of complacency. A state in which they might feel they could let their guard down, even a little. These were dangerous times for Israel indeed. However, in the midst of the situation, Joshua stands up and delivers this powerful message challenge to the people of God from the Lord Himself. He wants wholeheartedly for them to dedicate their lives. He wants them to give it their all. He wants them and presents to them a clear message from God. Choose. Either serve the gods on the other side of the flood or serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Choose it. Don't be half-hearted. Don't just dabble with it. Make a decision. Make up your mind. And as for me, if you want to know how I've made my mind up, if you want to know what choice I've made, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah God. That's who we're going to serve. Joshua tells them and challenges them. And I want to remind us all, just as it was a dangerous time for the children of Israel, it's a dangerous time for the church as well. We're seeing the church develop an appearance that is more and more like the church of Laodicea. You know that church. You've heard that church preached on. The Bible said in Revelation 3:14, as Jesus addresses the church, He said, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thou that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sit down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." A church that has everything it needs, all of its bills paid, padded pews, climate control. Listen, God's been good to us. Listen, God, ain't not a one of you had to ride a donkey to get here. Ain't not a one of you had to ride, had to get on old Mo and Joe and walk your way to church. I didn't see a one of you on the side of the road with your thumb stuck out. No, God's been good to us. God's blessed us beyond measure. We all got a home to go home to. We all got a house to live in. Most, if not all of us, has a pillow to put our head on. I'm saying physically, in the physical realm. I can look at your belly and mine too and tell you God's been good to us.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. And that's exactly how the church of Laodicea was. They were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. That's a dangerous place to be. We as a church have more than any church age has ever had. We have more luxury. We have more capability. We have more easy reach to reach around the world. I mean, media and technology, all that God has given us. And it's almost like we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But in reality, if we don't make up our mind that, hey, padded pews don't do nothing for us, climate don't do nothing for us, a good car and a good home, that ain't going to help us when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to what we have to have for heaven, when we're facing the enemy, hey, we got to make up our mind. As for me and my house, I don't want to be wretched. I don't want to be naked. I don't want to be blinded to the things of God and think I'm okay and really be lukewarm. I don't want our church to be lukewarm and make God sick. I mean, God said, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. I'd rather you be cold and out in the world. I'd rather you be in such a way that, but don't claim it. Don't say one thing with your lips and live another thing with your life. I mean, get in. And that's what Joshua's saying. We've made it to Canaan. Don't dare get complacent here. Don't dare fall in complacency. But make a decision. Make a choice. Make up your mind. Choose you and your family this day.
Amen.
Who you going to serve? And that's the message to them, and that's the message to us. Choose you this day. Don't put it off. Joshua said, I ain't going to choose next week, because next week probably never come. Choose you. It's personal. Choose you. Choose you. Not my brother, not my sister. But it's me, oh Lord. And the rest of that usually goes standing in need of prayer. And boy, ain't we. We all. You say, oh boy, he needs prayer. You let them keep saying that. And if they saying, oh, the preacher needs prayer. Did you hear? Just say it. Yep, he told me. He needs prayer. Pray, 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 pray. Because I'm standing in the need of prayer. And can I say, so are you. But he's saying right here, choose you this day. It's a personal thing. In other words, Brother Jimmy, it'd be great if Miss Connie decides tonight she's going to choose and make up her mind she's following Jesus, come what may. But that don't do nothing for you. You got to choose. Macy, your mama can choose and make up her mind she's following Jesus no matter what. And Daddy can say, by the grace of God, I've made up my mind and I'm choosing. But that don't get you where we at. You have to choose. You have to choose. And I have to choose. It is a personal choice. Every Christian can make the right decision by understanding the following truths. Number one. Understand this was a time of contemplation. There were some things that they needed to contemplate and think of and look back on and remember. Joshua's bringing that to their mind and letting them know, remember, contemplate, think on, muse on, just look back at how good God's been to us and think about it. And if we're going to choose this day, then we got to contemplate just how good God's been to us. Listen, life ain't perfect. Listen, I've got issues. I've got things going on. I mean, in every which way. I've got car troubles. I've got physical troubles. I've got spiritual issues I'm battling. I got all kind of issues. Life ain't perfect. But I'll tell you what, God's been good to this old boy. God's been so good to me, I ain't got room to complain. I ain't got time to complain. All I need to do is let my mouth open and bless His holy name for how good God's been to me. In spite of me, in spite of all I've done, God's been good to me. I have not a sad story to tell this evening. And Joshua said it's a time of contemplation. Verses 1 through 13, listen. We probably just be able to get it read, but listen. Joshua gathered all the tribes, verse 1, all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwell on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir and possessed it, to possess it. But Jacob and his children, I went down into Egypt, and I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward, I brought you out. Can you hear that? He said, I sent you down to Egypt, but afterward, I brought you out. Do you remember the day God brought you out? Out of sin, out of bondage, out of the devil's clutch. God's reminding them where they come from. He's saying, contemplate this. Think on this. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came into the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And you dwelled in the wilderness a long season, and I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak and the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent unto and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men at Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and the olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. I want you to go home and read what I just read, verses 1 through 13, Joshua 24, verses 1 through 13, and just look time and time, and I mean all the way back to the beginning. When God made that promise to Abraham, everywhere the sole of your foot will touch, that'll be your land. I mean, God made a promise, and when God makes a promise, God will keep that promise. And God promised Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to curse them that curse you, and I'm going to give you all this land. And so in our day, they can holler and they can scream from the river to the sea, trying to annihilate that Jew and say that land's theirs. But I tell you this, there ain't enough God-hating, devil-worshipping people in this world in power to push that Jew and wipe that Jew from the river to the sea. They, because God promised them that land, and they will remain there. God gave it to them. And they ain't enough weapons in this world to push that Jew out, because from the beginning, God, and then he just goes down through a list of miracle after miracle. I mean, one situation after another where they were boxed in. I mean, where it was a no-win situation. I mean, they were at the end of their rope, literally. They were going to die. I mean, their lives were over. They were going to be destroyed utterly But God stepped in. Then God came along. And Joshua was saying, hey, we're here. We made it to Canaan. But you better contemplate. You better make up your mind that you ain't going back. You ain't going to follow the gods of this world. You ain't going to let the Canaanites help you and push you to compromise and get over. No, 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 no. God's been too good to us. God's blessed us. God's delivered us. And by the grace of God, we will make up our mind that we're going to serve Him. We're going to follow Him. We're going to love Him. We're going to worship Him. And we're going to make a land. And we're going to have a place that God promised us to pass to our children. So Amen. They too. As for me and my house. Said a whole lot here lately about a household salvation. Amen. Had a great talk with Brother Randy and got more talking to do. But Brother Randy stood up and testified. Now, Brother Randy, I hope I ain't getting too personal, but I remember going to church with you as a boy at Hammock Grove. And this is just the truth. I know you worked a lot, but I'd see you and then I wouldn't. I'd see him, then I wouldn't. Wanda was the piano player, so she had to be there. But I know Randy worked a lot, but I'd see him, and then I wouldn't see him. And then they came here, and I've watched you just incrementally getting closer and closer, and I watched God save your grandchildren. And I watched God doing a work in your family in such a way it's undeniable. And then I heard you stand up and testify at the goodness of God. And you've been contemplating just how good and how faithful God's been to you. And he said, God's been too good to me for me to just die like this. I want to have a legacy. I want to leave something for my children and grandchildren to be able to live in and follow after the paths that I've made.
Amen.
What a testimony. That's the kind of contemplating Joshua is challenging these people to do, and that every one of us must make up our mind. And if we're going to make up our mind, then we got to contemplate and use our mind and think, beginning with just how good God has been to us. Can I say, and I'm going to close this, I know what time it is. Can I say, remember where He found you. You were nothing. Brother Stephen,
Amen.
I don't know where you was. I don't know the condition you was in. I've heard bits and pieces, but I know you wasn't nothing. Brother Alex, I know the mess you was in. You was a long-haired hippie, a dope-smoking hippie. You didn't care nothing about the things of God. And then, let me read a verse. And listen, that's many of your testimonies. But it don't matter if you was a dope-smoking hippie with hair down your back or if you was sitting on a church pew like I was. We both needed deliverance. We both needed God to save us. And listen, this is how He found us. I said, remember where He found you. Contemplate where He found you. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, established my goings, and have put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and rejoiceth not the proud. Not or such turn away aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to usward cannot be reckoned upon to order unto Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering Thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast Thou opened. My burnt offering and sin offering hast Thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, speaking of none other than Christ. It is written of me, in the volume of the book I come. I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within mine heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation nation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest, I have not hid thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me. O Lord, let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Yeah. That's where he found you, in a horrible pit. And then look where he's brought you. I mean, listen, it might have been messy. It might have took a while to get that hair cut. It might have took a while for you to lay down some habits. But God has been delivering you ever since he delivered you.
Amen.
Let that statement sink in. God's been delivering you ever since he delivered you. God's been saving you ever since he saved you. God's been establishing you ever since he established you. Oh, God's been rescuing you ever since he rescued you. I'm out of time. But I could preach for a while tonight. My goodness.